From the Land-Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the Closing Market Report. It's the third day of November, 2011. I'm Todd Gleason. In a few moments, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Dan Zwicker at ADM Grain Group. He's in Decatur, Illinois. And later in the program, Matt Bennett with TGM will be along to explore the cash grain market. In agricultural news, the dismantling of MF Global has begun. Regulators say it looks like there's about a $600 million shortfall. And South Korean riot police have used water cannons to break up protesters opposed to a free trade agreement with the United States. Dave Dickey will be along in a moment with these and other agricultural news stories. And then as we close out our program, we usually talk with Peter Levitt. He's still out. Don't worry, he's okay, and we'll get him back in a couple of weeks, he tells us. But today, that won't be the case. Instead, I'll run a story somebody asked that we do again from earlier in the week when we turn 7 billion people strong on the planet. It all happens right here on this Thursday edition of the Closing Market Report. It is a production of Illinois Public Media from the Urbana-Champaign campus of the University of Illinois.
Agricultural programs are made possible by Risk Management Commodities Incorporated in Lafayette, Indiana, Chalmers, Indiana, and Hudsonville, Illinois. Risk Management Commodities focuses on managing risk in today's complex and sophisticated commodities market. 866-837-9027.
On this Thursday afternoon, futures finished the day like this. The nearby contract in December wheat, 644 and a quarter, the high, the low at 620. Settlement price there at 636, up 12 and a half cents. December corn for the day at 653 and a half, up 8 and a half, the high at 58 and a half, the low at 640 and three quarters. March contract at 663 and three quarters, settlement price up 7 and three quarters. May at 669 and a half in the corn pit, up 7 and a half. And July 9 and a quarter higher at $6.75 and a quarter. September future, 6.31 and three quarters, up 7 and a quarter. December contract, 6.11 and a quarter, up 5 and three quarters. November beans today, 25 and three quarters of a cent the gain, $12.19 and a quarter the settlement price. January futures, 12.27 and a quarter, up 24 and a half. And March beans, 12.36 and a half, up 24 and a quarter. May contract, 12.45 and a quarter, 24 and a quarter higher. July at 12.52 and three quarters, up 23. And November, $12.36 and three quarters, up 22 and three quarters for the day. December bean meal at $3.14.50, up $4. December bean oil at $52.03. That's $1.18 higher on the afternoon. Live cattle futures in Chicago finished December at $124.50, up $2.50. November feeders at $1.42 and a nickel, 25 cents lower. Lean hogs at $86.60, down 27 and a half cents. Here's what the outside markets look like for the afternoon. Nearby December crude oil, $94 even, $1.50 higher. Ethanol at $2.79, that's up 0.4 of a cent. Natural gas at $3.78.5, up 3.75 of a cent, rather up 3.6 of a cent. And the heating oil or diesel fuel at $3, 3.9 of a cent, 3.9 of a cent higher. Gold futures, $1,764.20 an ounce, up $35.50. The Dow at 12,006. That's 170 points higher. The dollar at 76.6, down 0.33, and the CRB index at 320.01, 3.95 higher on the afternoon. Here's what the weather forecast looks like. As it comes from the National Weather Service for this afternoon, a high of 49 and rain. Northeast winds at about 18 miles an hour. They'll gust all the way to 29. Chance of precip set at 100%. Tonight, cloudy during the early evening. Then gradual clearing, a low of 36. North-northeast winds between 9 and 17, gusting to 24. And Friday night, sunny, sunny, a high of 55. East-northeast winds between 6 and 8. Now Friday night, mostly clear, a low of 32. And southeast winds at 6 to 8. Saturday, sunny skies, a high near 60. South-southeast winds between 8 and 13. Saturday night, partly cloudy, a low of 46. Sunday, mostly sunny and breezy. Sunday night, a chance of showers, mostly cloudy, a low of 47. Monday, a chance of showers, cloudy, a high of 59. And Monday night, showers likely, cloudy, a low of 49. Tuesday, showers likely, cloudy, a high of 60 degrees. Tuesday night, showers continue, cloudy with a low of 43. And Wednesday, a chance of showers, mostly cloudy, and a high of 54 degrees. During the program today, we'll talk, of course, with Dan Zwicker and Matt Bennett. That all happens in just a moment.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report. It is a Thursday afternoon. Dan Zwicker of ADM Grain Group in Decatur, Illinois, joins us to take up the futures markets. Good afternoon to you, Dan.
Hi, Todd.
You know, the rainfall has come, and it's keeping producers out of the field now, though probably doesn't make too much difference for harvest. They'd like to do some fall tillage and maybe put some anhydrous on. As we look out, though, we're thinking that the marketplace has, in our area at least, captured most of the harvest season, and still we've got a market that is moving higher for both corn and soybeans. Which one do you want to start with today?
Well, we can start with corn because that's the strongest of the two. I mean, you can kind of look at the corn-soybean ratio, and that's something that I watch from a longer-term perspective. We're probably in the window here of making a five-year low in the corn-soybean ratio. So I think somewhere here over the next 30, 90 days, maybe 120 days, or let's say through the rest of the fall and on into the spring somewhere, soybeans are going to gain on corn. So I do think longer term, that's where a guy wants to be at. But right now, corn is the strongest with the corn-soybean ratio. And the key driving force here has been the ethanol industry. Good profits both in dry mills, and of course if the dry mills are making money, the wet mills are making even more money. So you have strong demand at that point. Domestic demand seems to be improving slightly. If you look at egg sets and chick placements, we're starting to see a little upturn there, but nothing that would be significant yet. But again, you look at export demand on corn. I mean, export demand is so poor that in order to meet USDA's projection for the year, we only need to sell 20 million bushels. Now, I mean, that tells you how weak it is. I mean, this is the time of year where we should be selling 40, 50, 60 million bushels of corn a week, because seasonally those sales begin to fall off as you go on into the spring and summer months, and especially if the South Americans come on with a strong crop like Argentina, then we have no chance at all of kind of catching up. So but corn technically here is sideways. Today was a good close, but not quite the cigar yet. I'm looking at a chart pattern here, basically the sideways pattern that we've had in place here for about 3-4 weeks. The midpoint of that is 648. I kind of want to swing a move off of the early October low at 572, and that gives you a 724 upside target. Now, that's the target up on the dartboard. Whether or not we get there or not, a lot of things are going to have to happen. But I think initially here we need to see some breaks out of this congestion area, maybe clear this 665 area. That gives us then a quick move to the 675, which is a 50% retracement back of the September decline. And if we could start penetrating those areas in the 675 area, then all of a sudden, then I think the gates are open then for maybe a move on up into the 7.25 area.
Can I take you to the continuous corn chart weekly and ask about that 724 top that you that place up there at 724 that looks like the target? Because when I'm looking at that, I see a trough down. And that is the top end of the trough. Am I seeing that right?
Now, what I've got a weekly continuation chart on looking at, but what are you looking at?
Okay,
we've had the high this August. We had a high of 765, and then we had this nosedive down to 572. So now, what are you looking at?
All right, so I've got a 765 high in August, and then you go back to the next high, right, which is what, and that up right at $8.
But if you that was your June high.
Yeah.
Correct.
So, but if you draw a line, across those tops, and then draw a line across the bottoms in June, and then here in October, don't you have a downward trough?
Well, you have you would have a downtrend there.
Right.
You could call that almost a flag. I think if you take one step and take a look at the monthly chart, then you could begin to maybe say that this correction that we had off of our July high down to this early October low is just we reversed down off of that 90 that 799. And then October here, we had a monthly reversal to the upside off of this 577. If you take that 799, the midpoint of the 799 high, and this 572 low, if you just look at it, now that 72 on an electronic, I'm looking right now at a just a day session, which was 577.
Right.
If you take the midpoint of that, you get somewhere around 688. And then what I would do, but we've got some work to do, but if we could start, if we would start moving into the $7 range, I think then the gates begin to open up then. You'd want to swing a move off of the June 10 low of 324. The distance there is 363. So you'd want to add 363 on to 688. And then the number becomes 1051 for the touchdown.
Oh, throw that one back in my face, didn't you? Well,
do you think Illinois could do a 1051?
Yes.
Yes, okay.
I'm going to go with yes. You know, we're still 5 wins and 3 losses, and that's still winning, right?
Well, you guys are still winning, but my Aggie team kind of comes out of the gate with big leads, and they lose it at the end. So they're kind of like a racehorse that likes to lead up front but fails in the back. So
all right.
So but that's how bullish you can be. Now there's a lot of factors in that. I'm just looking at the big number, but I think soybeans are going to be the story. If corn is going to go that high, I think it has to come from soybeans simply because of the corn soybean ratio. basically, we've got the corn soybean ratio now back to the point where we saw that big jump in corn acres in 07 and the big fall off of soybean acres in 07. Now, whether or not that's going to be the case this coming year where we're going to jump corn acres up to 94, 95 million and then we're going to drop soybean acres way off, or maybe the South American soybean crop isn't as big as what everybody's planning on it to be, or there could be other kind of factors, but I think soybeans need to move out front here and be the leader, and they're going to pull corn higher, just like you see here today. Basically, beans are 3 times what the price of corn was. So if corn is going to go to those bigger numbers, soybean, I think, is going to have to lead the pack.
But you're telling me when we started this that corn was the stronger of the two at this point.
Yes. Yes, and it's going to be hard for it to go higher without beans going higher, and I think that's kind of what you saw here today. Now, chart-wise, I like this January bean. We had that nice quick move up out of that early October low of, I'm looking at January contract here of 1163. We went to 1283, and then we did nothing but kind of slip down here for the last 3 weeks, and Tuesday, we had a low here about 1190. For the week, we're unchanged. We have come back. We've recouped all of our weekly losses. If we could see some nice follow through from today's advance, and maybe I'd like to see a close probably above 1252. I think then all of a sudden the door is open then for a quick move to 1310. And then we'll kind of go from there. The 50% retracement back toward September decline comes in here about 1318. Beans have a tendency to do 38s and 62s, so a 62% retracement would kind of be like 13.55 or so.
Mm-hmm. Hey, so do you think that the fundamentally we've got beans set up so that it'll happen? When we talked to the folks in Indiana at Delphi, they were talking about Louis Dreyfus needing beans and that they were even bidding overs at this point to get beans.
Well, there's I mean, it's got everybody puzzled. I mean, USDA comes out and publishes a number. The private firms come out here and publish a number. And then if you look at cash basis levels and, you know, where is that inventory? So either farmers have turned into super hoarders of corn and soybeans and got their bin doors just super locked up and not willing to sell it at any price, or there are some problems with USDA's numbers. And
which one are you betting on?
Well, it could be a little bit of both. Okay. I think farmers are, this is that once in a generation to hoard some money away, and they probably got more money than they know what to do with in some instances, and they might be turning into Argentina farmers using corn and soybeans as a hedge against inflation. Because putting it in the bank ain't necessarily the safest place. There's a lot of country banks still going broke. One of the home banks back home went broke the other day. So maybe you're better off with corn and soybeans in the bin. But you might have to have a guard to guard it. You might have to hire some guards to guard it.
Indeed. Hey, thank you so much. It was fun.
Very well.
Yeah, Dan Zwickers with ADM Grain Group. He's in Decatur, Illinois. Joins us here on the Closing Market Report. That happens each and every Thursday afternoon.
Support for the Closing Market Report comes from AgriGold Hybrids, featuring the AgriGold Giants, a group of five new hybrids designed to meet the performance standards of yield, health, and consistency required by Midwestern corn growers. More information is at AgriGoldGiants.com or at 800-262-7333.
If you want to hear Dan again, you can always do that off our website at willag.org. That's willag.org or m.willag.org for your mobile smartphone. Now here's Dave with today's agricultural news.
In agricultural news, a federal judge says that the trustee in charge of liquidating MF Global's brokerage business can begin transferring certain customer accounts to rival brokers to take on the roughly 48,000 commodity positions of MF Global's customers cleared through the Chicago Mercantile Exchange. 60% of the value of collateralized accounts will be transferred, but customers will have to leave the remainder with CME to cover a potential shortfall in MF's brokerage accounts. The CFTC yesterday pegged the shortfall at around $600 million, or 11% of the $5.4 billion MF is supposed to have segregated. Riot police used water cannon to dispense protesters outside South Korea's National Assembly today amid a deepening political standoff over the ruling conservatives' final push to seal a trade deal with the U.S. It had been expected to sail through the South Korean parliament, where the ruling Grand National Party has a majority, but opposition lawmakers have stalled proceedings, and they succeeded in blocking it again today. The Agriculture Department is revising its definitions of fryer and roasting chickens and turkey to reflect the increasingly short time needed to bring U.S. poultry to market. The new definitions, which lower the age of poultry in five classes, are expected to be published today. Fryer chickens, also known as broilers, for instance, will be classified as chickens less than 10 weeks old, 3 weeks less than the current definition. Argentina is still in talks with China over a corn sanitary protocol and hopes a deal can be struck before next year's harvest, when the world's second largest exporter could ship corn to China. Chinese traders say that the signing of the protocol has little impact on demand for supplies with the U.S. because supplies from Argentina have no price advantages. Argentina is expected to produce 25 million tons of corn next year, of which 15 million tons would be available for export. Sara Lee Corporation is reporting a loss for its first quarter as a food and beverage company coped with higher commodity costs. Sara Lee lost $215 million, or 37 cents per share, for the period ending on October 1st. Meanwhile, it was a similar story at Kellogg's. Kellogg's says its third quarter net income fell 14%, hurt by higher costs related to updating its supply chain. Net income fell to $290 million, or 80 cents per share, in the 3 months ending October 1st. And that's a look at today's agricultural news.
Hey, thanks, Dave. Dave Dickey is Director of Agricultural Programming for Illinois Public Media. You can always find us online at willag.org. That's willag.org. It's public radio for the farming world. Support for today's broadcast comes from ADM, now providing a new mobile site, FarmerView, for up-to-date futures, weather, market commentary, and local bids. Available at adm.com/farmerview. Usually at this time on a Thursday afternoon, we talk with Matt Bennett of TGM in Windsor, Illinois. Matt, not available this afternoon. We'll take you through the weather forecast for this afternoon. A high of 49 degrees yet. Tonight, cloudy. A low of 36. And we'll start the rain this afternoon, and it'll just keep raining through the evening. And then we'll clear out. Sunny skies tomorrow. A high of 55 degrees. And tomorrow night, mostly clear. A low of 32. Saturday, sunny and 60. Saturday night, partly cloudy and 46, and partly sunny on Sunday and a high of 61. A chance of showers on Sunday night. On Monday, a chance of showers. Monday night, showers are likely. Tuesday, showers. Tuesday night, showers likely again. And a chance of showers persist right on through Wednesday. Highs and lows through that period include the highs on Sunday of 61, on Monday of 59, on Tuesday of 60, and Wednesday of 54, lows mostly in the upper 40-degree level. Of course, you can always find us online if you'd like at willag.org. That's willag.org. There you'll find all of our agricultural programming. In just a couple of minutes, we will not talk with Pete Levitt, meteorologist. Pete doing well, but still recouping from the fall he took earlier in the year. I did have a discussion with him earlier today. And he says, well, give me a couple of weeks and he'll be back up and around. And Pete Levitt will bring us our weather forecast on Thursdays as usual. We'll say goodbye to some of our radio stations for the rest of you. Stick with us. I'll go back through that piece we produced earlier in the week about 7 billion people and the history of agriculture.
It's Sandwich Day. The exact origins of the sandwich is the subject of much debate. One popular myth gives the sandwich's creation to John Montagu, 4th Earl of Sandwich. The Earl is said to have invented the sandwich in 1762 as a quick meal, as so not to interrupt his gambling sessions at London's Beef Steak Club. But the first written reference to a sandwich that same year goes to a rival club, the cocoa tree. On this day in agricultural history in 1832, Sir John Leslie died, a Scottish physicist and mathematician. He was the first to freeze water artificially. He used an air pump apparatus. In 1841, Johannes Warming was born, a Danish botanist. He was one of the founders of the science of plant ecology. Warming studied what he called environmental factors, including soil, light, temperature, and rainfall. In 1863, J.T. Alden was issued the first U.S. patent for an improved method of manufacturing dried yeast. And in 1966, ingredients were required to be listed on food packages. The Federal Fair Packaging and Labeling Act required manufacturers to list the identity of the product, the name and place of business of the manufacturer, packer, or distributor, and the net quantity of contents. And that's this day in agricultural history.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report. It is a Thursday afternoon. I spoke with Pete Levitt, meteorologist, earlier today. Still not ready to make the trip back to our air, but we'll be in a couple of weeks. Speaking of trips, that's what he did. He fell down the basement stairs and broke his leg, and he's been recovering ever since. That leg, he says, is in really bad shape, just about to move it to an air cast, and he won't be back next week, but probably the following one. In its stead, I'll repeat a story that we produced earlier in the week as the population clock on the planet ticked past 7 billion. It's an enormous number. Just how big? Well, in year one of our Christian calendar, there were about 200 million people on the planet. Now, it took about 1,800 years for that number to grow to 1 billion. It's about that same time Thomas Jefferson, yes, the Thomas Jefferson, was tinkering with the moldboard plow. It's a good thing, too, and even better when John Deere took the iron plow and made it steel in the 1830s. Oh, and the McCormick Reaper was patented about that same time, and the first grain elevator was built in Buffalo, New York. It took about 300 man-hours to produce 100 bushels of wheat from 5 acres of land in 1830. 20 years later, in 1850, when the world population had grown to 1.2 billion and those inventions were pretty widely used, a farmer could spend just 90 hours to raise 100 bushels of corn on half the number of acres, 2.5. Now, some things are so simple and so overlooked, but change everything. Barbed wire. It tamed the West and changed everything about animal husbandry and beef cattle production. Joseph Glidden of DeKalb, Illinois, didn't invent it, but did improve it and is considered the father of modern barbed wire fencing. Who knew? It did the job, and by 1927, when the planet passed 2 billion people, the open range in America had been fenced. Don't think things in the world of hogs wasn't changing, too. In 1934, the Landrace breed was imported from Denmark. Oh, and row crops. It was about that same time that the first hybrid seed corn company was founded. 1926, Henry A. Wallace's Pioneer Hybrid. It took about 20 man-hours to produce 100 bushels of corn on 2.5 acres. Farmers began the switch from horses to tractors. In the span of about 30 years, the human race added another billion people. It was 1960, and there were 3 billion of us now. Most of America had electricity, and it sure looked like Asia was going to starve to death. Dr. Norman Borlaug, whom I had the pleasure of interviewing for more than an hour in the 1990s, staved that one off when he came across a high-yielding dwarf wheat variety. It saved Asia. He won the Nobel Peace Prize in 1970. Anhydrous ammonia fertilizer and herbicides to control weeds were introduced in the 60s. We grew to 4 billion by 1975. It took just 3 man-hours to produce 100 bushels of corn on not 5, but about 1 acre of land. We reached 5 billion in 1987 and 6 billion in 1999. During that same period, man learned how to genetically modify plants. Monsanto introduced Roundup Ready soybeans. They were resistant to glyphosate herbicide. Our soils stay put today in large part because Roundup allowed farmers to stop tilling the land. the first BT corn hybrids were introduced in, too. They were resistant to insects. So our planet has now surpassed some 7 billion people, and we have not starved. I'm Todd Gleason.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.